Welcome back to season 3 of the podcast.
With new voices and even more striking coverage.
This week we cover how ASU excels in its sustainability efforts.
And a new round of legislation for the new year spurs action from Palestinian organizations.
I'm Abby Bessinger.
And I'm Tyler Abrams. And this is State Press Play.
ASU's sustainability efforts has gained recognition, with the university being ranked number one in the United States and second globally in 2023. State Press Multimedia Director Alexis Eichmann is here to break down ASU's achievements. Hello, Alexis.
Hi.
So, what is the system that can determine how sustainable a university is?
So it's kind of something that ASU opts into. You don't have to do it, but basically the university throughout the entire year will kind of keep records of the sustainability efforts that they're doing. And so that's like our water usage, our energy usage, stuff like that. And they compile all that data and they sent it off to the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. That organization has this little rating system and they kind of decide where everyone falls after people submit to them. And that's called the Sustainability Tracking Assessment and Rating System. And basically it rates off of like 5 different categories. So that's going to be academics, engagement, operations, planning and administration is the 4th one. And then innovation and leadership is the last one. ASU scored 91 out of 100 points this past year. So yeah, it's super cool. We have the platinum record, which not a lot of universities do. We're one of 10, which is pretty cool to me, I think.
That is so cool. So you spoke with Mark Campbell, ASU's Executive Director of Sustainability Practices, and he described ASU's efforts by making a comparison to traffic lights. Can you break down Campbell's analogy?
Yeah, of course. So he was like really adamant in like saying that sustainability is a journey and not an endpoint. So like we're doing great now. Obviously, we have like that 91 out of 100. But there's so much more we could be doing. For the green light, he gave that to our transition to electric vehicles. In the past like year or so, we've gotten a lot more charging stations on campus. And then we're also starting to transition like our fleet of vehicles, like ASU's company vehicles. So like our busing systems, the ASU police cars, stuff like that. And then yellow was given to energy use and circular resources. Energy use, obviously, I think a lot of people on campus have seen, we use a lot of solar power, stuff like that. And then circular resources, I don't think a lot of people understand what circular resources are.
Can you explain it to us?
Yeah, of course. So like circular resources is pretty much making a foundation for businesses to kind of like start and end with the earth. So like repurposing is like circular resources. So on the Polytechnic campus, we have a circular living lab, which is super cool. One of the program directors, Tyler Eaglin, super cool guy. I talked to him about it. And they have, like, you can toss your plastic all around campus into the recycle bin. And some of that plastic, the Circular Living Lab will take that and they will repurpose it into stuff that ASU then uses. So, like, tabletops or skateboards, stuff like that. But that's all circular living. At red is water optimization. Like I said earlier, we're in a desert. It's hot all the time. So, you know, finding ways to optimize our water usage, that's always kind of been a problem out here. So in the upcoming year, we're really hoping to focus on that.
So with all of ASU's sustainability efforts and achievements, what can students expect for 2024?
Hopefully a lot. I'm hoping that a lot of changes come. Like I said earlier, like we're at that 91 out of 100, but like that's 9 more points we could get. And like 100's not even the end goal. Like you can always be doing better than where you're at. Michael Crow's been a longtime advocate for making us a sustainable university. I attended the Carbon Summit in 2023. It was the first year that ASU held one. There were 27 panelists or keynote speakers, and all of them were just spent the whole time talking about sustainability practices and like how ASU as a university can improve. It was called the Marketplace of Ideas, but it was super cool. They're going to continue that every year going forward now, so that's something we can expect in 2024. The person who brought it to the university is a graduate student. His name is Jason Marmon. Again, super cool guy. He's establishing a carbon council, which is going to be kind of like student-ran sustainability efforts, connecting that with like ASU representatives. So like Mark Campbell, the director, making sure that, you know, students are involved in the decisions on campus to become more sustainable and really sharing their ideas. They want ASU to be the model of like what a sustainable university looks like.
Well, thank you, Alexis.
Thanks.
That was State Press Multimedia Director Alexis Heichman. You can check out her story at statepress.com.
On January 8th, several pro-Palestinian organizations, including Students for Justice in Palestine at ASU, gathered outside of the state capitol building to condemn a concurrent resolution supporting Israel that was going to be voted on by the Arizona House of Representatives. Maya Osmanbekov was on the scene at the event. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Maya.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Maya, despite the press conference, the Israel supporting resolution was adopted unanimously by the House. However, what were the grievances that the coalition and others had with the resolution?
Yeah, so in the press release, that was issued by the Arizona Palestine Network to inform journalists that there was going to be a press conference, it frames the event as this like interfaith coalition, meaning a bunch of organizations that support Palestine were there, kind of to show their solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza. And so I guess the grievances were more that they were upset at the state government for continuing to support Israel with this resolution, basically saying that Arizona as a state supports Israel's right to self-defense and to exist as a state. All the organizations were basically there to call for a ceasefire. They even had this giant white ceasefire banner. And so Ahmed Awesha, he's an associate professor at ASU and the chairman of the Arizona Muslim Alliance, was there. And he spoke about how Muslims in Arizona are, quote unquote, fed up with election officials not calling for a ceasefire and continuing to support Israel.
This pro-Zionist resolution means that our elected officials do not care for the voices of their constituents.
And then there's also the organization Students for Justice in Palestine at ASU. And they also talked about how they felt like their freedom of expression has been attacked, or like they've been pressured by both public officials and by ASU.
My name is Finn Howe, president of Students for Justice in Palestine at Arizona State University. On December 12th, the Arizona legislature held a committee meeting where most of the invited speakers called for restrictions on SJP's right to freedom of expression, including calls to our universities for our chapters to be dechartered as official student organizations and defunded. SJP was not invited to this hearing, and the legislature has never extended an invite to our organization to hear from us directly about the work we do.
There was a hearing from the Committee on Antisemitism and Education in the House about like trying to figure out what's happening on campus following the October 7 attacks. And there, a bunch of members of the Jewish community testified, and one member in particular, Jonathan Shanzer, talked about how SJP might have ties to Hamas and kind of was encouraging the committee to reconsider SJP as a legitimate organization. Then later on, we had Representatives Nguyen and Bliss co-authoring a letter to President Michael Crow asking him to remove SJP's recognition as a student organization, which means like defunding the organization and taking away its charter.
On December 21st, State Senator Quang Nguyen wrote a letter to ASU President Michael Crow calling for sanctions against SJP, including defunding and urging ASU to prevent SJP from using ASU facilities.
So Finn Howe is sort of talking about that part, but the majority of it was just about calling for a ceasefire and criticizing the resolution for only supporting Israel and not showing any support to Palestine.
Mm-hmm. While you were in the midst of that event, what was the general vibe and the atmosphere surrounding the coalition of pro-Palestinian groups that morning? What was their message to the media and to anyone watching?
Yeah, so it was very peaceful. It started off with just the representatives from those various pro-Palestinian organizations kind of showing up and speaking. And then as the event went on, the event was only like 40 minutes long. But as the event kept going on, there were a lot of like peaceful, this wasn't a protest. So I wouldn't call them protesters, but a lot of people joined in. They had signs with a Palestinian flag or like CAPS supporting Palestine. They kind of started joining in, so became like a larger group outside of the capital. And ultimately, yeah, their message was that they were supporting a ceasefire. They even had chants going on.
Ceasefire! When do we want it?
Now!
Ceasefire now!
Ceasefire now!
And yeah, so the general vibe of it wasn't very threatening. It was just like this group of people who were criticizing the resolution that was going to be presented in the House of Representatives. Yeah, that's kind of the general atmosphere.
Well, what about the state representatives? According to your article, the resolution was passed to the Senate with unanimous approval. Did any of the representatives respond to the coalition's statements on the House resolution?
Not to my knowledge, it was adopted unanimously, so there were no objections when the resolution was introduced. We talked to Representative Selena Bliss, and she praised the adoption of the resolution, saying it had bipartisan support and that both Republicans and Democrats supported it. So it seemed like, based on what she said, that within the legislature, there seemed to be a united front with Democrats and Republicans. I do know there are like 17 or 18 legislators who did sign a petition that it supports a ceasefire. But aside from them, it seemed like for the resolution, there wasn't anyone that was particularly against it from their perspective.
So once this resolution is reviewed by the Senate and it eventually passes as like Arizona's official statement on the conflict, what do you think might be next for SJP? Did they mention anything about continuing their efforts to hold press conferences, to hold protests, or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, during his speech, because there are a lot of speakers at the press conference, Finn Howe, who's the president of SJP, he just said that they're going to stand strong against any threats to their freedom of expression.
Students for Justice in Palestine stand strong against the threats to our freedom of expression and will not be intimidated. We urge state representatives to vote against today's resolution and any future legislation that could infringe on our right to freedom of expression. Thank you.
As of now, SJP is still a registered student organization at ASU. They still receive funding. They still have a charter. So it seems like they're just going to continue whatever work they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like this is going to be a furthering developing situation throughout the rest of this year. Well, thanks once again for coming on the podcast, Maya.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yep. You just heard from Maya Osmenbekov. You can check out her article on the event at statepress.com.
And that's all for this week's episode of State Press Play. I'm Abby Bessinger.
And I'm Tyler Abrams. State Press Play is produced and mixed by podcast desk editor Gabriella Fernbaugh. Our original music is by Ellie Willard and Jake LaRue.
Special thanks to our managing team, Alexis Heichman and Morgan Cabasco.
You can check out all these stories and more on statepress.com.
See you next week, Devils.